Pastor Brian, thank you, worship team. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 13 through 22. As we continue to study the Acts of the Apostles, and we're here in Peter and John, there in front of the Sanhedrin, which is this Jewish council of Pharisees and Sadducees, two of the main groups there of Judaism. And they act as the religious and the political jurists over the Jewish people. So what happened? If you missed a Sunday and kind of got out of track, or maybe you just had a rough week and can't remember what we covered the last couple of weeks. Last week we talked about where Peter and John had healed this crippled man. Well, Jesus healed through them. Healed this crippled man. They were preaching there in the temple that this man was healed in the name of Jesus Christ to the people. Well, the Jewish leadership didn't, they were upset about this because the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. First, they didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Then they did not believe in the afterlife. They did not believe in the resurrection. So they had them arrested because it was late in the evening. So they had them in jail. Last week we saw where they brought them out of jail. They're there before the council. And they ask him a question: by who or what name did this crippled man get healed? Now, the crippled man who was once crippled, he's there healed completely, is standing right there with them. How did you guys do it? Peter took the opportunity there to make it his second sermon, and he's beginning to preach there to the Sanhedrin about Jesus Christ. So the Lord is working through these two men in a mighty, mighty way. It's amazing that even the bad things, or what we think is the bad things that happen to us, God is using it for his glory and our good. Think about it. Think about something that you've done or happened in your own life, and you thought everything was blown up, everything had gone bad. But understand that God uses all things. Those of us who are in Christ, we begin to understand that even this situation that I'm going through right now that seems so dim and so bleak, and I don't know what I'm going to do about this situation, God has a plan. And God has a way. For Peter and John here, they're in front of the Sanhedrin. These are the same guys who condemned Jesus to death. They had the authority and the power to condemn Peter and John to death and have them crucified too. But obviously the Holy Spirit was upon Peter, and he proclaimed Christ right in front of the Sanhedrin. So now it's, what are we going to do with these guys? They have to make a decision about how they're going to act and react there with Peter and John. Let's begin reading there in verse 13. It says, "Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say to reply. But when they had ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, 'What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent, and it's apparent to all who live in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. But so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name.' And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. When they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. For the man was more than 40 years old whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Let's pray together. Father God, as we look into your word, Lord, we thank you so much for the grace that you give us in your Son, Jesus. And Lord, as we look at this encounter that Peter and John had with the Sanhedrin, Lord, they stood with confidence. May we too do the same. Lord, so many opportunities come our way during the day that we can speak up for Christ, live differently than the world. And God, there are times that we cower back. Lord, I pray that you fill us with your Spirit. Lord, to help us be bold in times of doubt, times of struggle, times that we're pushed and the pressure around us seems to want to make us cave. Let us remember what you've already done in our life. And we stand on the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's some reaction there to Peter's sermon there in front of the Sanhedrin. Because these guys, the Sanhedrin, knew there was something different about Peter and John. They were there. They were not afraid. They were not cowering back. They were not holding back what they said. Man, they were getting after it. They're in front of these very guys who had Jesus sent to the cross, and they had the authority to do the same thing to them. How many times do we cower back? And where our lives are not threatened by our peers, by the people that we work with, we go to school with. No, we just don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable. Listen, I'd rather make someone feel uncomfortable for Christ than to pat them on the back on their way to hell. There's no hope in that. Verse 13 says, now as they observed, who the Sanhedrin's the they? Now as they, Sanhedrin, observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. So these Sanhedrin knew that Peter and John were from Galilee. They had not been formally educated in the rabbinic schools. They didn't have the seminary background. They didn't have all the training that these Pharisees and Sadducees had. They were not the teachers of the law. These were common fishermen, blue-collar workers. Man, they were working class. Fishermen. Probably rednecks from the northern part of the parish, Brother Ryan. So they were there from Galilee in the northern part of Israel. There was something different about these guys. They spoke in common everyday language. They didn't use all the seminary terms. They didn't use all the religious jargon. They were just common everyday men proclaiming the scripture and proclaiming this guy, Jesus, who only a few months before they had brought to the cross. Something about their demeanor. Because Peter and John spoke with boldness and assuredness and confidence about Jesus and what they had witnessed. See, Peter and John witnessed Jesus. They saw his death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. And they had been there in the upper room when the Holy Spirit fell upon them on the day of Pentecost. And they knew the scriptures. These common everyday guys who were fishermen knew the scriptures. Oh, what a message for us today. If we're not in our Bible learning the scripture, you don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't have to have been to Bible school. You have the God's word in your hand. Matter of fact, most of us have several copies of God's word. But sometimes we play too much on our phone to go into God's word. We're too worried about Facebook and TikTok and whatever else out there, social media. We're too worried about everybody else's business besides God's business. So we don't learn. But these guys learn God's word. Man, they recognize these guys as being with Jesus. These men of God were educated with Jesus. So under the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, the apostles were courageous. Man, they were articulate, and they demonstrated authority from the Lord. Let me tell you what, when you're walking with God, God's word gets into you, people notice a difference in you. If people are not noticing a difference in you, then maybe you're not doing what needs to be done in you. The Sanhedrin was amazed at the power, the authority, the knowledge, and the wisdom of these apostles. They were amazed that these guys from Galilee were here quoting scripture to them and making the connection of how Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And there, evidence, there was a miracle. This crippled man was there with them as they spoke, as they proclaimed, as they defended what they have done. Listen, guys, it's a hard thing. Why are you coming down upon us for doing a good thing for this man who now can walk, who had been there for 40 years begging? These servants of God had nothing to fear from the judgment of men. Verse 14 says, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. The evidence, listen, the physical, tangible evidence was right there. God gave Peter and John an object lesson to teach these Jewish people who were there for worship and now here in front of the Sanhedrin. Here's the object lesson. The power of God working through men and women, these men of God. The miracle this crippled man received was examined there by the doubters. And they came to the conclusion that it was a genuine healing, a genuine miracle. Because the man had been crippled for over 40 years. Everywhere this man had gone his whole life, he had to be carried. Everywhere he had gone. And that day that Peter and John had met him at the temple at the Gate Beautiful, the people had brought him to his normal sitting place to beg for money. Everyone in that temple knew who he was because he was there practically every day begging for money. That was his living. So they knew him. And the Sanhedrin could clearly see it was not a hoax because they knew that man, and they knew now that under inspection, he's perfectly healthy. He is walking. That was not something that could just be done by some kind of illusion. Well, Peter and John, through Christ, brought healing to this man in a very miraculous way. And the Sanhedrin really had nothing to say about that wonderful act of God. They had nothing to say, nothing to add to it, nothing to comment, nothing to doubt, because the evidence was right in front of them. Look what God did there. The evidence is right there. What evidence is in you that God has done something in your life that's transformed you? And listen, you want to give him praise and glory for it. See, we all have a testimony. That's why troubles and problems come into our life, because that's the test, so that we can have a testimony for Jesus Christ, how he carried us through. Maybe you didn't receive the miracle that you thought you would, but you're still there, and God is still using you. God is still working in you. He's doing something magnificent in you for a purpose and a reason. Do you have to know the purpose and the reason? No, you just need to be faithful to God. Verse 15 through verse 18. But when they had ordered them to leave the council. So here now, Peter and John had argued their point about who Jesus was. The crippled man who had now healed completely is there with them. The evidence is before them. They had nothing to say about it. So the council now tells Peter and John to leave their presence. They needed to discuss this. What are we going to do with these guys? But when they had ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? They were a little confused here. For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent. It's apparent to all who live in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. Verse 17, but so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. So they had witnessed what the miracle that had taken place in this man's life. They heard these Galilean rednecks bring in scripture to prove Christ Jesus. And they said, let's get them out of here. Let's just warn them not to speak any more about Jesus' name. Do you ever think about this, though? So Luke, Dr. Luke, wrote the book, the Gospel of Luke, but he also wrote the Acts of the Apostles here. Have you ever wondered there, how did Luke know what the Sanhedrin discussed? Maybe just some of us Bible students think about that a little deeper. How do we know? Because Luke wasn't there. Luke's writing this years later. How did he know what was discussed? Well, we know it was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We know that. Could the Holy Spirit have used someone? Here's the thought. You ever hear of a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus, soon to be the Apostle Paul? It's believed that, Paul was a Pharisee. He was very well educated. He was working his way up through all the ranks of Judaism. And could it be that Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was there on the Sanhedrin the day that Peter and John were there defending their proclamation of Jesus Christ? Because you see, the Sanhedrin are the ones who voted whether to kill a Christian or to imprison a Christian. It was up to them. They were the council. They were the governing body over that. Listen to what Paul says many chapters later in Acts chapter 26, verse 10, after his conversion to Christianity and his call to be a missionary. Paul is speaking here in Acts 26, verse 10. He says, and this is just what I did in Jerusalem. So where were Peter and John in Jerusalem in front of the Sanhedrin? Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, but also when they be being put to death, I cast my vote against them. So the only way Paul had a vote is if he was on the council who was hearing what these Christians were doing and voting to put them to death. So here's an amazing thought, that the Apostle Paul was likely on the Sanhedrin council, maybe even when Jesus was brought before them a few months earlier. But that would stand to reason that Paul was telling this to Luke, and Luke was writing it down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to convey to us, even 2,000 years later, what the Sanhedrin was saying in their secret council, conferring with one another over what to do with Peter and John. The perfect example for us. Think about it. We don't know who's listening and who's watching us. When life treats us unfairly, when we're feeling pressured from people that we work with, people in our family, about the faith that we hold in Jesus Christ, and we stand up for Christ, we don't know when we speak up for Jesus who's listening. We don't know what God is doing in their life through us. Oh, how important it is, everything that we say, everything that we do, how important it is to us and for us to speak Jesus, because we don't know who's listening. Do you think Peter and John, standing in front of that Sanhedrin, had any inclination that there would be some of these men in that big council who would be called of God to be saved first of all and then go into ministry? I don't think they did. They just knew that they were proclaiming Jesus. They just knew that they were saying, talking about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit was doing what the Holy Spirit needed to do in the people's lives who were hearing about Jesus. What about in your life? You don't know. Listen, you don't have to go to work and preach to people. That's my job. But you are a witness. You have a testimony. You have what Jesus, this Jesus that you serve, this Jesus that you came to church today to worship. You didn't come to check it off of a box. There's no boxes to check off to get you into heaven. It's you and Jesus in a personal relationship. And because you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and if you don't, today's a wonderful day to have one. Because of that, you worship him and honor him. And you speak of him. I don't know my Bible. Listen, it's never too late to start. Little by little, you begin to learn. That's why we're going chapter by chapter, verse by verse, through a book, so that you as a disciple of Christ would dig deeper, not a hodgepodge of sermons here and there, but that you as a disciple of Christ will dig deeper. Who did Jesus teach the disciples? Who's the church? The disciples. You're the disciples of Christ to learn more about Christ. You don't know who God is using, who he has right there in your circle of family, in your circle of friends, the guys that you go to the suppers with, all those things. You don't know who's there that God is dealing with and is using you, and he put you there for a particular purpose and reason to speak of Jesus. Because people are watching us. We're always on stage for Christ. When you say that you are a Christian, you're always on stage. You say that, hey, I go down to First Baptist Church, Ville Platte, people are watching how you live and act, because how you live and act out there reflects your church. Did you ever think about that? Are you being a good, faithful reflection of Christ for First Baptist Church in this community? Or would you have to hang your head and say, no, I haven't really reflected Christ out there. And I've been saying some things about the church, and I've said this and I've said that, that are pretty shameful. Man, repent and get it right. So we can see the conversation of this council here. They couldn't deny the miracle of healing this crippled man, yet their hearts, people on this council, their hearts were corrupt. They refused to submit to God and acknowledge Jesus as their Christ Messiah. They didn't want to stir up the Jewish people to rebel against their authority in this council. So they chose not to punish Peter and John, because the people were amazed at the miracle. And they would have only connected that the council punished Peter and John because Christ did a miracle in this man's life who had been crippled all those years. And they would have been angry at the council. So they just commanded Peter and John not to preach, not to speak, not to teach in the name of Jesus. Not that the council was compelled to try to protect the Jewish people. No, the council was compelled to protect their money interest. Remember? The council was not trying, they weren't trying to protect what was being taught at the temple. They were trying to prevent the people from following Jesus and stepping aside from Judaism. Because what was the council doing? Remember these Jewish leaders there at Pentecost and the other Jewish festivals? They used the temple as a big money-making Ponzi scheme. What were they doing? Well, they were selling sacrifices way above what they should have been. So they wouldn't let people who were coming from a long distance to bring their own animal sacrifice, because it had to be in perfect health and had to be alive. So you could buy your sacrifice when you went to the temple. Well, the problem is that the prices were huge. They were inflated so much. And that the only way that you could buy anything in the temple is if you had temple money. So you had to take your secular money and exchange it for temple money. Well, it wasn't an equal ratio. In other words, it wasn't dollar for dollar. No, matter of fact, the exchange rate was very poor for your secular money. So a lot of secular money only got you a little bit of temple money. And then with the temple money, then you could go buy the inflated prices for the animal sacrifice. And not only that, the big courtyards there, remember, this temple court, this whole courtyard and everything was about 3 football fields wide and long, beautiful. They would section it off for vendors to establish little booths inside of the temple courtyard. They would rent the vendors a place to have their booth up, and then you had to go use your temple money, buy this at an inflated price, and then the temple leadership or the chief priest got a cut off of those booths. Everything you did for the temple during these festivals was a money-making scheme for the Jewish leadership. What a shame. Well, if you think about it, if more and more were leaving Judaism to follow Jesus, they would not be back buying sacrifices. They would not be there spending money at the temple. The Jewish leadership saw their money going down, down, down. And they couldn't stand to see that. That was their source of income, and they were getting what we call filthy rich off of it. So they just wanted Peter and John to go away, quit speaking in the name of Jesus, so these people would stay in the rut of Judaism that they were in rather than having salvation in Jesus. They didn't care about the people. They only cared about their money. Verse 18 through verse 20. It says, and when they had summoned them, they commanded that they would not speak at all in the name of Jesus. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Man, we were with Jesus. We saw him crucified. We saw the empty tomb. We saw his resurrected body. Matter of fact, we ate with him. He cooked breakfast for us. He entered a room. We got to touch him and speak to him. 40 days we got to be with him. We know what we have seen, and we know that we have heard, and we can't keep our mouth shut about Jesus. Oh, may that be our rally cry today, that we can't stop speaking of Jesus. Peter made that fact very clear to the Sanhedrin, that as far as they were concerned, they were going to do what is right in the sight of God rather than listen to the demands of this council. Verse 20 says, we cannot stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. It was impossible as far as Peter and John were concerned. Man, their lives had been transformed and changed. These same guys who were scared to speak about a word when Jesus was alive. Man, they ran like roaches in a light when Jesus was arrested. They fled. Peter denied him three times. Here he is in front of the Sanhedrin saying, I can't help but talk about this Jesus. Has your life changed any since you before Jesus as compared to coming to Jesus? Not just personally, but in your courage to speak for Jesus. Are you openly speaking of the wonders of Christ? I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about your relationship with Jesus. What stops you from being bold and confident saying and speaking of Jesus because of what you've seen and heard and read in his word, what he's done in your own personal life? Peter and John, man, that was impossible for them to stop speaking of Jesus. Peter said, we can't stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. What happened to these apostles? What happened to them? How did they go from scared cowards to bold proclaimers? The resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, the filling of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And they can't help it now. They can't help it but speak and teach and preach of Jesus. They were following the command that Jesus gave them over in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Man, they were under the influence and conviction of the Holy Spirit. They were under the compulsion of the Holy Spirit to boldly declare their salvation in no other and no one else but Jesus. What happened to them has happened to us as believers. Man, when you are a sinner destined for hell and the miracle of salvation happens in your life, the Holy Spirit regenerates you, you respond in faith and repentance to Christ. Listen, something changed in you. The Holy Spirit now abides in you. He made God's word effective, the gospel effective for you, and you said yes to Jesus. You're now filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, today, that's an everyday filling. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit, but that's an everyday filling. Why? Because in my life, I'm a bucket with a hole in it. I leak every day, and I need a fresh filling every day, and you do too. Why Christians are not proclaiming Jesus is because they don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit living in them. The same Spirit that filled the disciples is the same Spirit that's filling us. Why can they speak boldly? Why? Because they were baptized with the Spirit. They were dedicated to understand God's word, and they were learning of the Spirit, and they were sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Peter had to stand up in front of that hostile crowd of the Sanhedrin and proclaim Jesus. What stops you from being a witness where God has planted you? You work at the hospital, be a witness. You work at school, be a witness. He has you at home right now, housewives, listen, be a witness. You may be raising up the next pastor. You may be raising up the next missionary that will win thousands to Christ. You don't know that. What example are you setting for them? What Jesus are they seeing? Are they seeing a Jesus that looks like the world? Or are they seeing a Jesus of the Bible in you? Brother Kevin, that's a heavy weight to carry. Welcome to my world. Listen, when you say yes to Jesus, you really said yes to Jesus. You are his witnesses. You are his ambassadors. You are the one who are called out. You are the one who is elected. You're the one who's been chosen to stand apart in this world that is constantly trying to draw you back in. And it's to stand right for Christ. And if you're not in God's word, reading God's word for your own growth and for your own understanding, your own wisdom, so your own knowledge, and listen, give the Holy Spirit something to feed you off of when trouble comes, man, you're doing yourself an injustice, and you're doing others around you an injustice because they need you to be real. They need you to be the Christian that you say that you are. Why? Because there may be an Apostle Paul waiting, listening and watching to see if that Jesus that you say that you follow is for real. Man, we need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, may today you be filled with the Spirit. May you today have a new urgency to be in God's word, to learn God's word. Listen, as you read God's word, you're in God's word, he will make it plain. He will give you discernment. You pray for discernment, he'll give you discernment to understand God's word. May you and I be like Peter and John. We just can't stop speaking about Jesus. Verse 21 and 22, and we're closing. So when they, the Sanhedrin, had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. The people were. For the man was more than 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. See, the Jewish people, these Jewish leaders, were swayed by public opinion. In a good way, so to speak. There was an obvious miracle of God, and the people were rejoicing. Matter of fact, if you remember back when Peter preached that sermon, about 2,000 people were saved there at the temple. So these new converts were worshiping and honoring and praising God, and this Jewish Sanhedrin didn't want to mess with that. They didn't want a rebellion going on, and the Romans come in and cause some problems. No, the people were exalting God, and the leaders were looking for a way just to kind of sweep this miracle aside, you know, without infuriating these guys. The crowds of the people were there testifying that this crippled man was now walking, and it was all in the name of Jesus. They were glorifying God. All glory to God. Listen, when we tell others about Jesus, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about Him. Listen, you can tell them what He's done in your life, the transformation that He's making in your life and continue to make it, but don't make it about you, because you're still an imperfect human being. Because if you make it about you, next week when you fall in front of them and slip up in front of them, they're going to look at, well, I guess you are, Mr. Holy Roly. Don't make it about you. Make it about Jesus, who loves them just as much as He loves you, who can change them like He's changing you. It's a constant action. It's called sanctification. It's a constant move of making us more like Christ, degree by degree, more like Jesus. Man, look what God did through Peter and John. 2,000 people came to believe upon Jesus. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter got to present Jesus to this elite Jewish leadership. The miracle of healing was confirmed by people who examined this man of over 40 years old, that a miracle had truly happened. And the enemies of Jesus were absolutely confused and confounded and didn't know what to say. They said, what should we do with these men? Listen, when you're a witness for Jesus Christ, others may not know how to handle you. And that's okay. You don't be ugly. You let the fruit of the Spirit show kindness and gentleness and self-control and love. Galatians tells you how we should live and act and react with others. Don't be preaching to them. You just tell them about Jesus. You can share what He's doing in your life and constantly doing, but make it about Jesus. Stand boldly. Proclaim. Because there's someone watching, someone listening, who needs to hear about the one that you call Lord, the one that you call Savior. Don't you want those in your family? Don't you want those in your area of influence of friends and co-workers? Do you want them to know this Jesus that will take them to heaven just like He will you? Share Christ. Listen, we're going to stand in just a moment and pray. This altar will be open at the end of the service. I'll be here if you want to pray. Whatever God would have you do, let's stand together. Father God, we come to You. And that question is asked, what shall we do with Jesus? Lord, we just won't keep our mouth closed. Thank You, God, that we can't make it about ourselves. We didn't get ourselves better. we didn't get ourselves off of some form of addiction. Lord, we didn't get ourselves off of this stuff. We didn't save ourselves. Our life is not being daily transformed because we're just trying to be better people. It's all the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross and continues to do in our life in the power of the Holy Spirit. May everyone this morning who calls themselves by the name of Christ not stop speaking of Jesus and the miraculous miracle of salvation that he brings and the transformation he can make in their own life. God, you receive glory and honor through your message today. Be with us, God, as we go our separate ways. We lift you up and honor you in Jesus' name.